Welcome to the Guaranteed Irish Business Podcast, where each week we're joined by leaders of Guaranteed Irish member businesses to chat about how they sustain jobs, communities and provenance. Supported by FBD Insurance, Ireland's largest homegrown insurer. Support. It's what we do.
Hi there, I'm your host, Breed O'Connell, and I am delighted to welcome David Lawler, owner and manager of the Watermark Coffee Company, to join us today and to hear more about their business, its objectives, and of course, its contribution to local communities and its support for Irish jobs. The podcast, as usual, is aimed to shine a light on all Guaranteed Irish businesses across Ireland and how these businesses benefit their local communities, drive innovation, and stay competitive in a global marketplace. You are very welcome, David.
Thank you, Reid. Thanks for having me.
Delighted to have you here. And I want to hear all about Watermark Coffee, because unlike most entrepreneurs, shall we say, you've come a little bit sideways to the business. So I'm really interested to hear about that. Maybe you'll share that background with us a little bit.
Yeah, certainly. My wife, Marguerite, and I bought Watermark Coffee in 2007, and the business had been up for sale for the previous number of years and had been established. So that was a big allure in terms of...
Where was that, David?
So the business at the time was based in Parkwest.
Right.
We're currently based in Citywest now. But so the owner had wanted to sell the business because he had a separate business alongside which he wanted to concentrate on. So we ended up doing a kind of arrangement where I went in as managing director to, you know, help manage the business for a year before we actually went and bought the business. And at the time, the business was doing commercial coffee equipment sale and repair across Ireland.
Okay, so the machines that we get our coffee
out of.
That's right, yeah. Okay, so high-risk business, 2006, doesn't sound too good to me.
It was actually awful, and considering we actually bought the business in 2007. So 2007, it's actually, if you remember, it was actually okay at the beginning, and then it started to go quickly downhill.
Completely haywire.
So, yeah, no, it was a very challenging time as well. We moved premises as well, because the location in Parkwest was tiny. Mm. So we, of course, bought at the top of the market.
Well done, well done. David, and did you mention that you were an accountant there?
I did, yeah, I did. So the problem with being an accountant is you don't have a view into the future. But the reality of the situation is we had to move because the existing premises in Parkwest was too small. From a health and safety perspective alone, it was a hazard.
Okay.
So we did need to move. If I had to make the same decision again, I would have definitely moved, probably tried to rent. But at the time, there was nothing really there to rent. So we didn't have a huge number of options. But look at hindsight is 20/20.
Of course. And actually, it's amazing when you're in the situation, you have to go with what's there.
Absolutely.
And there's no point in waiting. We don't know what's around the corner. I mean, who saw COVID coming?
That's
so
right.
When you think about it.
Yeah.
Anyway, continue on with your story. So you took over, this was a machine servicing business, really.
It was, yeah. The business had a couple of challenges at the time. It had three customers making up 80% of the business.
Right.
Which is kind of frightening. And those three customers, they had their own, one of them had their own equipment solution. One of them, soon exited the business altogether. And then on the equipment side of it, some of the deals that were in place to get equipment were ceasing.
So what attracted you to the business? I can't understand it.
I suppose we were always very interested in coffee and we liked coffee and we could see that coffee was becoming more popular and everything else like that. So we bought a business that was set up and there's a lot to be said for buying a business that's set up, even from things like, payroll and all of that type of thing. That takes time if you have to do it from scratch. And we had our own ideas in terms of where we wanted to drive the business. Now, obviously, the financial crisis, would have harmed that. Mm. But when we came out of the recession, we were a much stronger business than when we went in.
Okay, talk to us about that.
So that's, yeah, I know that's quite an interesting thing that happened. So at the time, we were selling equipment. And of course, you couldn't even get loans for €1,000 from the banks. No one was giving that money. So what we ended up doing was we ended up renting our machines out to hospitality businesses. And it was mainly hospitality at the time. And that kind of plugged the hole in terms of, because people couldn't get finance. Mm. We were able to provide the machines.
I remember it.
And everything. Now, we weren't doing coffee at the time. So we started doing that. And then come, I think, 2012, 2014, like our business was really, really starting to strive forward.
Okay.
And at the time, 2013 was a grim time here still.
But you obviously were agile enough to see the opportunity that people could only afford to rent as they go. So you just adapted. adapted to that market.
Absolutely. And that's and that's the key. That's key to
agility.
It all.
Yeah.
You have to, and you have to think about what you're doing. Mm. Also, I think as well, you know, there's no there was no complacency there. I mean, you know, and our business was not alone. People had to work really hard to try and, you know, figure out what to do next. So we were very agile. We are entrepreneurs. We are risk takers. Mm. I look back and I still think, God, how did we manage to finance all that? Mm. But we put ourselves out on a limb, no question of it. Plenty of sleepless nights. Mm. But we had belief. Mm. And when you have belief and when you have hope, that is so important.
I know. So, okay, move on. We're at 2014 now. So when did you step from machine servicing and leasing to coffee?
2014.
Okay, so talk to us about that journey.
So we rented this. We started the rental business off in 2011.
Now, I do need to preface this. I'm sorry, Dave, to cut across you, but there is every Tom, Dick and Harry out there wants to own a coffee shop at stage in their life. And you did it. So, and you moved from, you know, a service sector to, well, obviously service again, but with, you know, a totally different product. So this is the story everybody wants to hear. How did you make it work? Because there's a lot of coffee sellers out there now.
There are an awful lot. I think, so in 2014, we started selling the coffee. And we started small and we started with kind of, I suppose, innocuous brands, you know, ones that we would have bought in from Italy, and they were fine and all the rest of it. Coffee market was changing an awful lot as well. I suppose the trick to it all is that when you're trying to set up a coffee business like ours, it's the infrastructure of after sales service is the really difficult thing. Right. Anybody can jump on a plane and, you know, buy coffee and bring it back, or even start to buy a small roaster and roast it themselves. But it's the after sales services that when somebody rings you on Christmas Eve, that you're able to respond, you know, and you're able to get people in the right place at the right time with the right know-how and parts. And that's the hard bit. So we actually had done the hard work to start with. So the coffee bit.
While, so the trust was there.
Well, and the expertise.
Yeah.
You know, and the expertise and the systems. So we had also things like, we had also taken the opportunity to put in an ERP system and all of that. So all of these type of things help the business to work much better together. So you're able to have scheduling systems and routing systems that kind of interface with the order management system. And that's really, really important. And that's where the skills of being a chartered accountant absolutely come into play.
You know? Yeah.
But so we started with the coffee, and that worked well. It worked slowly, as you can imagine. There aren't as many competitors back then as there are now. Now there's like billions, but it was still a slow burn first, because there were big players in the market, and those big players are still there. So we started to build our business, and we started bringing on our own brands, and that kind of worked well, and we were learning all the time. And then in 2019, we wanted to develop the kind of more of a sustainable kind of based concept. So we brought out Woodland Coffee.
Yeah, I really like this story now. So tell us a little bit about, you developed a roastery, didn't you?
Yeah, so we worked a roastery up in Northern Ireland. So that's kind of where that came from. And so Woodland Coffee is, what we did was we went out and wanted to align, you know, drinking coffee with kind of positive climate action. So rather than, let's say, do it by donation to, you know, pay for a tree somewhere, or even, you know, in the tropics or whatever, we went out and we bought 30 acres of land in Limerick, and we started, we applied for a mixed woodland development on that, and we planted that out in 2021, I think it was. But just as we were about to launch Woodland Coffee, I think the coffee was, it was probably, I think it was the 1st of April, and COVID hit us. 2 weeks before.
That's right.
So, you know, timing is everything.
Critical, yeah.
So we had to just put the pause on that, but I couldn't wait any longer, because I had put so much work into it, and we launched it the following September, which was still quite a pretty challenging in the COVID environment, which was, you know, prevalent for the next couple of years.
So were you selling the coffee directly, or were you selling it to coffee vans and things like that were selling?
So we were selling to a cold combination of things. At that particular time, it was hospitality and cafes, no question of it. It was a combination of, you know, small, you know, it was all kind of, yeah, there was a good bit of, you know, horse boxes knocking
yeah,
around.
That's right.
But there was a lot of cafes as well. So, true. You know, and they were opening in a kind of a limited type of
that's
way.
That's right, yeah.
So we did a lot of that. And it actually went really, really well.
Okay.
You know, people really responded to it. They really liked the idea. They really liked how it was presented. And the fact that it was here in Ireland
yeah, that's critical.
Really makes a big difference.
And particularly during COVID, so many people wanted to support Irish businesses who
yeah.
are, you know, supporting their own local communities. Talk to me about the sustainability aspect of it, because I'm really interested in that.
Yes, so a good few years even before that, we started to, you know, we both Marguerite and I are hugely outdoors orientated type of people, and we've always tried to do everything we can to, I suppose, minimise our impact on our environment.
Well done. Very
yeah,
good.
So
yeah.
Everything from, you know, making sure we have solar panels and all that type of thing, and it all kind of makes a difference.
Mm.
But what we wanted to try to do with the two brands, and Woodland Coffee was the first, Green Ocean Coffee is the one we've launched this year, is to make them as an enabler brands. So that means that we put a concept in place, we go out and we promote it to the market, and the more people that actually, you know, buy the coffee, the bigger the impact it is. So in particular, let's say the Green Ocean Coffee, we've been doing a restoration project in Clue Bay with Clue Bay Oyster Co-op to regenerate the native oyster beds and seagrass beds in the bay. And there's a whole process of restoration that's a part of that. But for every bag of coffee, 1 square meter of seabed happens.
That's so for every bag of coffee, 1 square meter is restored?
Yeah. So what we've done is, so what we try to do in Watermark is we try to pre-fund the project. So we don't say we'll do it after. So we went out and we invested 10,000 euros on the first tranche of restoration. And we did that in 2022. And summer 22, beautiful day. And we did that. And then we actually launched Green Ocean Coffee then in January this year.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
So that's really putting your money where your mouth is.
Oh, no, totally, 100%. Yeah, this is.
So talk to me about oysters and your concern about them, because I'm not aware of this. So educate me.
Yeah, so oysters, so whether you like them or otherwise, oysters are a really important species. And the species we have here in restaurants tends to be the Pacific oyster, the Gigas oyster. But the ones that grow around Ireland is the native Irish oyster. Or the European flat oyster. And these are the oysters that would have grown all pretty much they would have grown in Dublin Bay, they'd have grown the Arklow Bank, the Kish Bank, all of that. And I suppose back in the 1800s, oysters started to become a thing, and they were heavily harvested by, you know, Irish people, but also people coming across from Europe. And in many cases, the actual oyster beds were overexploited and just kind of died
out. Yeah.
So the oysters are a keystone species in the environmental kind of network. And what that means is that they set a lot of the positive conditions for biodiversity to develop. So oysters, what they do is that they filter water at a rate of about 200 litres per day. And what that does is it makes the water clearer, sunlight can penetrate the bottom, which in turn allows for seagrass, which is a huge carbon sink, and seaweeds to grow alongside the oysters. The oysters themselves then, the habitat allows for fish to move in. And that's when you have kind of, started a working ecosystem.
That's fantastic.
Yeah. But in addition, and this is really topical at the moment, oysters provide, a natural kind of break from, let's say, storm surge.
Right.
So, for example, particularly in the likes of Clontarf, and Clontarf would have had a lot of oyster beds, back in the day. So that stops things like storm surge from happening and flooding and all the rest of it.
How?
So, do you know the way that along the coast you'd see people putting big, or you'd see the councils putting down big blocks, like Doonbeg and the likes of that. So oysters actually, what they do is they form a reef and they stick together, and then over time they grow and grow and grow, and so that actually
it's amazing.
It's actually a natural barrier to the storm surge.
Didn't know that. Mm. My goodness, what a fountain of information today. Well done for you guys, yourself and Marguerite, putting your money where your mouth is through Watermark Coffee. And really doing something.
Yeah.
We're all talking about it, but how much are we, any of us, actually doing? So really a call for more to do the same.
This is it. And our next project, which we're working on as well, is exactly that. So we're looking to reintroduce the native oyster into Dublin Bay. Now, this is a long-term project. Mm. This is a 20-year project. Mm. And we're looking to do is to hang oyster gardens off several marinas around the Dublin area.
Mm.
And that's going to, you know, it's small and has to start small, but it will build up.
Mm.
And the idea behind it is that there's a huge amount of people to be involved in this. It's not just us.
Mm.
So it's like, you know, it's collaboration with the likes of UCD, who we're working on at the moment, but also the councils and everything to get behind it, and the businesses and communities and individuals, because volunteerism is a huge part of this next phase.
And is there an appetite for that from the agencies you're talking about, the local authorities and things like that?
Yeah, there's a huge amount of interest, and there's a lot of excitement about it as well.
And have you spoken to them about it?
Oh yeah.
And this is ongoing?
It's ongoing. So I've been working on this project now for quite a while. The Dublin Bay project, I've been working on it for quite a while.
Mm.
Everybody from the Marine Institute to the Minister, everybody. So and everybody is very, very supportive. Now it is a long process, and there's a lot of steps involved, but that's, you know.
So anybody who wants to get involved right now, what can they do?
So I suppose first thing to do is go and have a cup of Green Ocean coffee. That's the easiest way. I think when the Dublin Bay thing comes to fruition, I think that if they do want to get involved, and there's an element of citizen science to this as well. And we will be opening it in time to allow people to volunteer. And the idea is that people can just let us know and we can go down. And because the oyster gardens will need to be cleaned and counted and, you know, and just measured and all the rest of it.
Mm.
So there's that. But I mean, I suppose in the very easiest bit is if people want to, and the way we're trying to do this is to you know, have our Green Ocean coffees there to allow people to get involved. And if that's as simple as just having a coffee, then that's great too.
Okay, so where can I get the Green Ocean coffee made by the Watermark?
It's typically a B2B product. Now we do sell it online on greenoceancoffee.ie and watermarkcoffee.ie, but primarily we're aiming this towards kind of, you know, cafes, businesses, that type of thing.
So talk to me now particularly about your Green Ocean coffee, and indeed the Woodland coffee. You're after sweeping the boards with Blossom of Héireann prizes recently, big awards on your taste. Tell me a little bit about that.
Yeah, so it was wonderful. We submitted, so the Green Ocean coffees that we submitted, there was three of them at the time, and there's two categories. There's the multi-origin and single origin, and we won gold, first place on the multi-origin with Carrigui, and then we won second place, there, the silver, with our single origin Dorinish, and then on our Woodland coffee we won third place on our single origin Tibradon. So out of six possible awards, we won half of them, which is
unheard of, actually.
Blown me away.
Yeah brilliant. Well done.
What
do you put it down to?
So the tasting is completely blind, right? They don't see anything. They don't see the bags.
That's the right thing to do. Yeah,
100%. And there's a lot of rigor. So I suppose I'd love to say it's because my taste is amazing. But no, we go for coffees that generally speaking, people like. Okay, so what we try to do is coffees. It's not about coffees what I like. It's about what our customers like and what ones do well. And we have a good handle of this. We've been doing it for a long time.
Mm.
We're also we also do kind of question ourselves. So we did bring out a couple of two other Green Oceans at the start. Wasn't happy with them. Discontinued them. So we will, if something isn't working, we will stop it.
Yeah, you're critical on yourself.
100%.
Okay.
And we will, because Green Carrick, we actually wasn't a part of the original three that we brought out.
So, David, primarily your market is B2B. You're selling through the corporates. People are getting hooked on your coffee at work and they're looking for it somewhere else. So I feel there's another string to your bow. Surely you're going to go public and get it B2C at some stage if there's that level of demand for such a high award winning coffee.
You're right. Yeah, there is an awful lot of competition at the market. We did reach out, all right. So they have to reach back, I suppose. But there you go. Yeah. No,
okay.
I think there is. You know, it's all about distribution channels. And if it's easier for you know the consumers to buy it, then it's going to work much better. But ultimately, you know, the big chains need to say, yeah, I'm on for this.
Look, the name here, we've got it. It's Watermark Coffee. I really like what you're doing. I like your values behind the coffee in terms of your drive for sustainability and to make the world a little bit better by the time we leave it. And that's really what Guaranteed Irish is all about. And of course, very recently you've joined the Guaranteed Irish community. How's that going for you?
It's going great. Yeah, no, it's great to be associated with a trademark that is so trusted for so many years. I mean, even when I was a small child, I remember seeing it and understanding what it was about. And it's great now to actually have our brands affiliated with the Guaranteed Irish.
And hopefully some of those Guaranteed Irish businesses out there start pick up the phone or drop an email to David Lawler of Watermark Coffee to make sure that they stock that in their canteen. So very nice talking to you, David. I wish you every success. And I suppose best luck in the next channel, because I feel this is not a finished conversation. I feel there's a lot more to go.
Thank you very much, Bridget.
So please like, share and follow and review this programme if you found it interesting on the platform you're listening to your podcast right now. This helps share and support the idea of supporting other businesses here in Ireland. And remember, those businesses that are part of Guaranteed Irish support jobs, community and our economy here. If you feel that your business can benefit from networking with like-minded businesses here in Ireland, contact guaranteedirish.ie for more information. In the meantime, take care, enjoy the rest of the week, and as you go, remember to look out for the G.
The Guaranteed Irish Business Podcast, sponsored by FBD Insurance, Ireland's largest homegrown insurer. Support. It's what we do.